How about in terms of facing the challenges of today's modern stresses, such as, I mean, we see, even though with all the technology that we have, with all the material wealth and accumulation that we have, people are not getting necessarily any happier, any more peaceful. So on a global level.
On a global level. Just last September, I was invited to Brisbane to give the keynote address at the World Computer Conference. And I'm a Buddhist monk. And I just got some feedback from the organizers last month. They put every one of those talks on the net. And my one was by far the most downloaded of all. And there we go. We have a Buddhist monk teaching, you know, the professionals, the heads of IT, you know, how to actually to do their profession. Adding a bit of spirituality, you know, into their profession. Learning how to relax, learning how to have some fun, learning how to be creative. Because creativity does not come when you're stressed out. Creativity comes when you have a sense of fun and play. And that's something which we don't have in the workforce anymore.
But do people realize more and more the need to just, you know, take a break and...
They do. Dell Computing in the United States, their headquarters, has a timeout room. Any member of that organization can go at any time of their workday into the timeout room. It's screened from any sort of text messages, mobile phones. Nothing gets into that room. So you're totally free of people bothering you. You can either have a cup of coffee, listen to some music, meditate, or whatever you want to do. And that company, which is obviously a top company in the world, allows people to go into their timeout room because they know when they relax, they perform much better afterwards.
Since the day we were born, our life is a constant pursuit of needs. A large part of our adult life is devoted into working hard to fulfill these never-ending needs, including the need to control our surroundings, other people, and ourselves. Without realizing it, we spend a lot of time and effort on accumulating and maintaining material or outer wealth, while forgetting to cultivate our inner wealth, that is, our compassion, patience, and generosity.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, the mind. Obviously, when you meditate, it's something to do with the mind. What is the mind? I mean, what goes on with the mind? And
what happens when you meditate? Everything becomes very still. And you notice the way the brain works, you can only notice things which change. So when you close your eyes, what you see is the inside of your eyelids. But after a while, because that doesn't change, the sense of sight turns off. The sound is constant. So after a while, you can't hear anything. Smell and taste are very easy to stop. And you sit very still until your body disappears, until you can't feel any sensations in your body. So when all of that disappears, the only thing which is left is your mind. And this is where you come face to face with the mind. And all these other five senses get so still, they vanish. And that's what becomes very, very beautiful. Some people don't realize what a beautiful mind they have. Because it's been covered with all these sense objects outside. So you go deep inside yourself to where your mind is. And it gets very peaceful and very beautiful.
And what is this mind?
What is this mind? It is the energy, the emperor, if you like, the consciousness, the will. That's how you can recognize it. A good example of this is one of my friends from Cambridge. His daughter, when she was in grade one at school in England, was asked a question by the teacher, "What is the biggest thing in the world?" And one kid put up their hand and said, "My daddy." They're only 5 years of age. Another kid put up their hand and said, no, miss, an elephant is the biggest thing in the world. No, a mountain is the biggest thing in the world. And the daughter of my friend, only 5 years of age, she's actually studying biochemistry in Oxford now, shows she was a brilliant girl. She said, "Miss, my eye is the biggest thing in the world." And the teacher said, "What do you mean?" "Well," said this five-year-old, "my eye can see her daddy, it can see an elephant, and it can see a mountain, and so much more. If all of that can fit into my eye must be the biggest thing in the world." That's brilliant.
That's a brilliant answer.
But it wasn't quite true. Because your mind can see everything your eye can see. And it can imagine things you'll never see in the real world. Your mind can hear, smell, taste, and feel sensations, real and imaginary. And it also has its own area, independent of all the other senses. In fact, everything you can ever experience and know can fit into your mind. So your mind is the biggest thing. Not the biggest thing in the world, because the world exists in the mind.
Does that mean you can't really control the mind?
Exactly. So just let it be. And when you let it be, it becomes very peaceful and still.
So what is the relationship between the mind and, for example, the emotions? Because, you know, you feel a lot of things like fear or hate.
That's
or
right.
Disappointment or frustration or even, you know, all these negative things. People always say, you know, be positive, don't be negative. What does that actually mean?
Well, actually, a lot of times it's just more controlling again. So they try to be positive and they get very frustrated because they can't do it. So a lot of times it's because they don't know how the mind actually works. If you can just leave it alone and let it be, it becomes peaceful all by itself.
So to go back to my questions on these emotions, they're not part of the mind, or are they?
They are part of the mind, but we have the positive emotions and the negative emotions. So the negative emotions show a dysfunctional attitude to life. When we get angry, you get angry, does it really help anybody? You just get angry and other people, they just think you're being stupid today, you're in a bad mood. You only hurt yourself.
But do you think the world's problems, or the conflicts can be solved?
They can be solved. They have to be solved. There's no other alternative. One of the beautiful things in our modern world, what I was talking to you about before the camera started rolling, is that, look, you know, I was born in London, educated in Buddhism in Thailand, living in Australia, now teaching in Indonesia. And you were sort of had your education in England too, and now you're sort of speaking in Indonesia. So what is this difference between nationalities? It's just totally imposed upon reality. It's not true. And modern people, whenever I go throughout the world, you know, young, well-educated professionals, the leaders of today and the future, they're realizing there is no difference between human beings, no matter what race, no matter what religion, what nation, what gender. In other words, we're beginning to see what we have in common, which is far, far, far in excess in what separates us.
But how to develop those feelings and inside everybody?
By meeting each other without fear, by being free to open up. I've had some wonderful discussions, you know, personal discussions with Muslims, with Christians, with Jews. It takes a long time to build up that trust. So we can open up to each other and express our fears, our anxieties. And when we do that, we can find out we have something which is in common. And when we have that which is in common, we recognize what we have in common. Then we have the basis on which to build up harmony. So you're a woman, I'm a man. But that's only superficial. There's much, much, much more than we have in common. And I hope I'm touching that in your heart.
What's your definition of happiness?
Of happiness? Happiness is having fun in this moment. And just appreciating what I have. Unhappiness is when I always want something more. Then I have to work. And I want to be better, when I want to be different. Then, okay, there are times when you try to improve yourself. But most of my time, I'm just enjoying who I am and who you are. And just enjoying the situation, not trying to make it any different. And you have fun.
Ajahn, thank you very much. It's been inspiring.
Thank you. I've had a great time. Great to see you.
It was a good moment.
Yeah.